You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. God, Charlie.
With Joshua Briscoe.
God, I could hit you with a plate. I could break a plate over your head right now.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so the Chiefs didn't take anybody in the top of middle draft today. And I'm annoyed. I'm not beside myself, but I'm annoyed. And Matt Connor / Arrowhead, I don't remember which account it came from, but I think they're both him, tweeted out that, like, me a month ago, Sam Beal, who is Sam Beal? Is he, does he have a car dealership? Or, and then now me today, if the Chiefs don't draft Sam Beal, I'm going to pop a vein in my head. And that is what I felt like today. 100%. I get it. I didn't know who Sam Beal was a month ago, and the Chiefs didn't draft him today, and my head exploded. I'm currently doing this as a stump. It's just my neck. I just got a neck hole. And so I understand that there's plenty of reason to not be beside yourself, especially with Adonis Alexander. I thought he was a pretty interesting prospect, and he was a prospect at the Chiefs' most like desperate position. Not just now, but also for the future. We talked about this yesterday, and I really talked about this the most on Sports Night last night. So if you haven't, if you didn't go listen to that or weren't listening live, I'll give you a recap. Basically, the point of everything I was saying coming into the middle draft today was that the Chiefs not only don't have enough depth in their current secondary, they also don't have enough depth for the future. So even if David Amerson and Steven Nelson play well, they're both free agents after this year. So if they play really well, someone else is going to want to pay them more than you should pay them. And if they don't play well, you got to find another option anyway. So now the Chiefs are going to be going in the next season with Kendall Fuller with one year on his deal remaining, and they'll have to sign him to an extension soon. And then also, like, the rookies, Tre'Mont Smith and all those guys that we've mentioned 1,000 times, just the names. And that's the thing to me that leaves me wanting. Because not only would I like to have Sam Beal hopefully start taking over as a starter in week 6 or whatever, or at least if not getting Steven Nelson snaps, starting to get David Amerson's, but I would like to have somebody that I can buy into for next year. I'd like to have somebody that I feel like can be the Robin to Kendall Fuller's Batman. And right now, the Chiefs don't have that guy. And they could have picked up at least a candidate to be that guy today, and they didn't. And so what happened with Sam Beal is the Giants took him with, I think, the 3rd pick of the 3rd round. Charlie's here, by the way, also.
Yes, that is correct. 3rd round.
So it was definitely the 3rd pick. I think it was the 3rd pick. And the way that it works, by the way, is in quadrants of, I guess it wouldn't be quadrants, it would be like, whatever, it would be 3 sections. Doesn't a quadrant dictate having 4 sections?
Yes.
Yeah.
So is it a trident? That's a spiky thing.
We'll go with that.
There are 3 tridents where it's teams that had lost 6 or had won 6 games or fewer last year, teams that had won more than 6 games, missed the playoffs, and then playoff teams, and those got all jumbled up. The Raiders actually had the highest pick they had the 1st pick in the hierarchy. It was basically a waiver wire setup, a waiver wire order, and you can put in a claim on a guy, and if somebody ahead of you also claims that guy, then you don't get him. It also doesn't cost you anything. So the Chiefs could have done it with Sam Beal, and whenever Beal actually went was the beginning of the 3rd round. Wow, that was the worst sound.
Sorry.
That microphone sounds so bad.
It did not sound good.
That was loud and terrible.
I was frustrated the Chiefs didn't take anyone in the subtitle draft today.
I understand. So. Filled with rage. Also, loud and bad, often a subtitle for this show.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the iTunes reviews, it's loud and bad. Also, my quarterly performance review, loud and bad. And so the way that the Chiefs could have gotten Sam Beal would have been to have used a 2nd-round pick that would have been towards the end of the 2nd round today. And then right after this, the end of the 2nd round, obviously beginning of the 3rd round, that's when the Giants take him. So the Chiefs would not have been reaching. They would have just been paying slightly more than the Giants were willing to pay to get Sam Beal.
Which they could have afforded.
And they could have done that totally reasonably. Now, again, counterpoint is that now the Chiefs have 3 top 150 picks. Or no, not more than that. The Chiefs have 3 top 70 picks, I think. 65. because they've got their first round pick and then 2 seconds. The 150 thing comes with Adonis Alexander. We'll get to him. But the Chiefs this year or next year are going to have three of the top 60 picks unless the Rams or they win the Super Bowl or are in the Super Bowl at least. And so I understand not wanting to give up even pick 50 in next year's draft, pick 60 in next year's draft for Sam Beal now. But the thing they could have done with the flexibility is that they had that second round pick that they got for Marcus Peters. That could have turned into a cornerback this year, and it could have helped you at your biggest position of weakness this year. And then after this year, he's also helping you for the long-term rebuilding of your cornerback position that is right now really depleted because it's Kendall Fuller and nobody else long-term. I like Tramon Smith's trades. He was a sixth-round pick. And that's why I'm not losing my mind over Adonis Alexander, because now no one felt the need to use any of the top 150 picks on him for a draft that doesn't come for another year. So that's probably some level of telling. The NFL executives weren't deeply in love with Adonis Alexander. Fine. So be it. But the Beal thing is a little annoying because the Chiefs could have pulled the trigger and helped themselves this year and for the future. I'm not beside myself. I'm just a little annoyed.
Yeah. They had two options here, and even in the sixth round, they could have given somebody up here for their Adonis Alexander.
Right, and bringing Alexander in this year also would have I would have been glad for them to do that. And that's again with Alexander, I'm not frustrated, but I wouldn't have been frustrated if they would have drafted him either. Mm-hmm. Because actually, I don't think they could have gotten him with the sixth because it was Washington in the sixth, right?
Yes.
So they would have had to do a fifth because Washington would have been in the quadrant ahead of them.
Right, right.
The trident ahead
but
of them.
But still, just slightly bigger price.
But yeah, you give a tail-end fifth-round pick, and they didn't have a fourth-round pick because they traded that for Reggie Ragland. So towards the end of the draft, it does get a little bit more messy for the Chiefs. But yeah, there were two windows where they could have very reasonably used a pick on Adonis Alexander or on Sam Beal. And if these guys, by the way, if these guys were defensive linemen or offensive linemen or even pass rushers, I wouldn't be here doing this. But they got through the entire regular draft, except for Tramon Smith, who I think was a sixth-round pick. They got way deep into the draft without addressing the cornerback spot. They addressed it by signing David Amerson in the offseason. And last year, they got down to the nub of playing Darrell Revis. And so I thought that they would have kind of learned their lesson on that. I thought that Brett Veach would have been a little more concerned with the group, but he seems to really just freaking love Keith Reeser and Will Redmond and Arian Springs. I'm not doing this off the top of my head. There's too many names in this dome as far as the Chiefs' depth chart. But yeah, so those guys are gonna. Some of those guys are gonna make the team. Some of those guys are gonna be developmental draft picks. Some of them are going to be, are guys that develop as depth guys. Maybe you scratch a starter out of there. They're gonna get a year of starting as a number two corner out of Steven Nelson this year. They drafted him the same year they drafted Marcus Peters, and they invested in the cornerback spot. And I just wanted them to take that chance to do that again today. I also really wanted them to do that in the actual draft. I'm not deeply in love with Beal or Alexander. Neither of those guys are like long term, like, oh, they got to be Chiefs. But it ended up being a really good opportunity to capitalize in a place where I didn't think they were going to be able to capitalize until next draft. And now they won't. And now the urgency going into next year's draft is going to be enormous.
Oh, huge.
They're either going to have to give someone the bag in free agency, and they're probably going to have to give Kendall Fuller the bag before his contract is up. Next offseason, sometime during this year. They're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and then now going into next year's draft, they'll probably sign another David Amerson or another Darrell Revis or another, God, like Terrence Mitchell or whatever. But signing one of those guys doesn't actually help in the long term. Eventually, you have to invest in an actual plan. And so next year, they're going to be picking whatever, 20, 25, 30 maybe. 30 would be nice. I'd be down with 30. 30 means you lost in the AFC Championship game. I could deal with that in Mahomes' first year as a starter. But they're picking somewhere in if you want to even be a little pessimistic, the 15 to 25 range. And you are telling everyone you have to take a corner because your second best corner on the depth chart at this point next year is probably Tramon Smith, who might not get much playing time this year. Maybe your next best corner is if not literally, then basically the next version of David Amerson. And that scares me. I just think that's a bad way to build your investment here, especially at a position that's this important. So I'm annoyed.
And Sam Beal was projected to be a top five player at his position next year if he would have waited a year in the draft.
And also, where does top five mean exactly in a cornerback group? It probably means, and this is the expectation, late first, early second.
Sure.
And you do it in the supplemental draft, and the value changes a little bit, which I understand. Although, honestly, I would think that it would be reasonable to think that the price might go up because you could find more teams going, oh, bleep, we didn't do enough for a secondary this year with one of these guys. But yeah, everything changes after a year. I want to give all the normal disclaimers. But yeah, he would have been probably a top five-ish corner in next year's draft, and you could have him start improving your defense today.
Mm-hmm. And I've been kind of looking at comparing the Giants and the Chiefs depth chart with corners.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants have Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple dealing with problems with Eli Apple. But
and Jenkins coming back from an injury.
Right,
and
they're concerned about their depth. Does this mean the Chiefs are not at all concerned about their depth when they probably should be?
Well, so this is the thing that I've been wondering this. Good question, Charlie. I've been wondering this for a while. Because I'm obviously worried about their depth. I've made that relatively evident. Brett Veach isn't that worried about their depth. He's made that relatively evident in a way that's like, I can't say that it is puzzling, but it's a little bit worrisome, I suppose.
Just different, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because, listen, the actual, if you want to fight on the word depth specifically, then maybe it's okay. You go, hey, listen, man, you don't know. You don't know what Will Redmond and Tre'Mond Smith and Arian Springs and Ashton Lampkin can do. And I'd be like, well, no, I guess I don't know what those guys can do, but I know that they can't be a starter week one this year, and they might not be ready next year. And also, the Chiefs realistically probably going to need somebody to step up and get some snaps sooner than the beginning of next season. And so what I'm looking for, and again, this goes back to the reason that I'm not like losing my mind over not picking up Adonis Alexander. For me, this team needs another guy at the top of the depth chart. And this is something that I was saying like when they traded Marcus Peters.
Right.
And they knew that whenever they got Kendall Fuller, that they were going to end up eventually trading Marcus Peters. Brett Veach said as much in an interview of some sort a couple weeks ago. It wasn't really a big deal because at this point we're all trying to be over it. But trading for Kendall Fuller basically opened them up to trade Marcus Peters, a thing they wanted to do. And I think that's silly still, but whatever. We've been there a thousand. We've been over that enough that you know that's what I think and whatever. But the thing that's confusing to me is right now at this moment, Kendall Fuller is a lesser player than Marcus Peters is. Maybe it's not by much. That margin will be evaluated this year. Maybe Kendall Fuller overtakes him. Kendall Fuller, if they sign him to a long-term deal soon, will probably be a better value. He'll definitely be a lower cap number. I don't know if he'll perform at a high enough level. Will he outperform his cap number? Possibly. Or will Peters? Also possibly. But there was that move, and then it's Steven Nelson being healthy and stepping in for Terrence Mitchell, I guess. And that's also probably better. But then really it's Steven Nelson for Steven Nelson, and you're bringing in David Amerson for Terrence Mitchell. And also, like, at the end of the season, Darrell Revis was there. And there's just like, all of the messes. We would just like give out a whole bunch of names. Right now, I could be like, hey, name a whole bunch of failed corners from the Chiefs. Ideally from last year, maybe last couple of years. You go, all right, well, all those guys you just said, and then Philip Gaines and everybody who's been toasted by Ben Roethlisberger and every other player, every other quarterback in the American League. American League. What did I do there? Oh. Why don't I make it American League? Sorry. On the TV in front of me, there was a guy drinking four beers at once celebrating the Croatia victory today. And I went into autopilot and just made it the American League because there was a guy with four bottles of beer in his mouth at the same time. I hope you can understand.
Fair.
Yeah, every quarterback in the AFC. That's the mess that the Chiefs have had. And then now they have made no reason to believe that's not going to be at least a little bit less of a mess. And again, even if Steven Nelson is good this year, which I think he could be, I don't expect David Amerson to be any sort of overwhelming. And even if they are good, what's the plan for the future? That's the thing that's annoying to me.
So there were three players that were not selected today in the draft, mm-hmm. and that are now can now be picked up as undrafted free agents.
I thought there were only three guys eligible. All right, hit me with it.
Let's see. Brandon Bryant, the strong safety from Mississippi State.
Right. I thought that he saw it with the Jets, but okay, go on.
I haven't seen any news.
What was his name?
After Brandon Bryant.
Go ahead.
Strong safety.
Yeah.
Bright. Oh, boy. Agwugbu. I did that surprisingly well. Linebacker from Oregon State.
You got Agwugbu, but then got linebacker wrong.
Yeah, I did. You're right.
The Jets did then, sign Brandon Bryant.
And then Martavius Carter, a running back from Grand Valley State.
The running back the Chiefs will sign, just to add a guy to their depth chart, mm-hmm. because they don't have enough running backs
mm-hmm.
yet.
But yeah, those are, and it says here, they're now undrafted free agents eligible to be signed by any NFL team. So you said that they just took that strong safety that, I was going to say that could be an option for the Chiefs, but it looks like the Jets jumped on it before they did.
He was certainly the third guy in this group, and there was some interest there, honestly. Not that I'm reporting those interest from the Chiefs, interest from me. I thought it was kind of interesting. But yeah, the Jets signed him, and now our supplemental draft whiplash is over.
Right.
The other thing, we have to figure out how to do this. We have limited time left in the scope of this show, and I want to do headlines, and I want to give you another Chiefs story. Here's what we'll do. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, Nick the intern is going to deliver an array of headlines that won't all be Chiefs. And if you're listening for Chiefs stuff, I mean, you could fast forward, but the headline segment's really good. I really enjoy the headlines. And then after that, in the last segment of today's show, I want to talk about what Bill Barnwell said about the Chiefs and all of the weapons that the Chiefs have this year. I'll tell you ahead of time that I tend to agree with Bill Barnwell on this issue, and it should be encouraging to you. But next, headlines!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, I've tweeted that out, and I'm hoping that what I just said is factual and that your research wasn't bad.
Yeah, me too.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
It's July, and we have an intern. What does that equal? July plus intern equals... We gotta give him something to do. Also, I would love some things we could actually talk about on this show. It means that Nick the intern takes over the headline segment. He does it again right now. Let's get some of those headlines.
Headlines! I've got headlines over here! Do you want a headline? I've got plenty of them! Got breaking news here! Hey, you! You! You want some breaking news? What about you, old lady?
What have you cooked up for us today, Nick?
First one, the day LeBron became a Laker, behind-the-scenes stories.
All right, I would click it and skim it really quick.
Is this about the pizza thing?
I saw the pizza thing. The pizza thing of LeBron just, like, not showing up at what, like, a pizza party at a pizza chain that he
don't spoil
part
my headline.
Oh, no! Oh, no! All right, go ahead. I was stalling. I didn't know if you had the article open yet.
Well, no, I have a different headline.
I imagine that I also spoiled that one. Yep, my bad. What's this one? Is this just like a long form?
Yeah, it is.
I would click it. You're right. Okay, well, this is still fair. I would click the headline and then go, oh, reading, and then I would skip it.
Do you want to know where it starts?
Yes.
4 a.m. on July 1st.
Ooh, intriguing. I don't care.
Hey, you! Mister! You need some news. I've got news here. Just ask me, please. I need to give out news.
MLB hitters explain why they can't beat the shift.
I got so nervous. Oh, wow. I actually would be interested in that a little bit. I've wondered that a few times. Like, some guys are just completely, they just get the shift beat out of them. And, wow, I got nervous whenever Nick said that.
I got nervous whenever you said that.
Yeah, I figured you might. What does it say? What do we need to know?
So ESPN.com recently asked three left-handed hitters what it takes to beat the shift. Daniel Murphy said strikeouts are way up, so getting a base hit is more difficult than ever because of the velocity and how good pitchers are now. You see velocity in secondary weapons for 4 or 5 at-bats a game. So it's really difficult to get three hits in one inning. If you hit three singles, it's one run. So pull ground balls are not really base hits in this league anymore.
Shift happens.
Yep.
Hey, you! You need some news! Come get the news from me!
Who are the WNBA MVP frontrunners?
I don't want to be misogynistic or anything. I like to pretend that I care about the WNBA. I would like to. I can't.
You have 14 headlines, though.
Yeah, good call.
Here's another headline.
LeBron James skips pizza party, makes Lakers fans mad.
This was funny. I did see this.
Yeah, it is good. We already talked about it. What did we not already say whenever we were accidentally stealing your headline?
Well, so this, he, you know how he owns some Blaze pizza shops. So he had dropped a clue that he might be at one. So Lakers fans lined up on the streets. And then, I don't know if it was his daughter or someone posted a picture on Twitter of him and his wife in the pool on a donut floaty.
Awesome. Such a good detail.
And the caption was like, "Don't worry about it" or something.
Fantastic.
Or don't, yeah.
LeBron didn't go to L.A. to be at your at his own, I guess, pizza shop. He went to L.A. to be in a donut floaty and to make a lot of money, and eventually in movies.
Hey, you look like you haven't been paying attention to the news lately. Do you need a newspaper? I bet you do. Here's one. Take it. No, why are you giving it back?
Was Gordon Hayward a bit disappointed by his gender reveal party?
Yes.
The internet weighs in.
Yes, the answer is
yes. The answer
yes.
is yes. We hashed this out yesterday.
Yes, this is this was an hour of show yesterday. For people who haven't heard, do you have the audio, Beards?
I can get it pulled up real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, I don't even want to let you read it, Nick, because I want people to hear it. I guess I would say that this is it's a gender reveal party for Gordon Hayward. There's a cardboard box that he opens up. His
you
two daughters and wife
played?
Are with him. And yeah, just play the
okay,
whole
I've
clip.
Got it.
You'll hear when this breaks bad.
Okay, ready? Say, Daddy, can you help me?
Help me.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Whoa! It's a girl!
Whoa!
You want a girl?
Brittany, you were right.
Is Daddy happy?
Daddy's always happy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is absolutely that he was a little disappointed by that. I also read the specific article about the internet weighing in. I did click it, but I don't need you to read it. It's ridiculous.
Who's tired of the news? Do you want a headline instead?
Michael Vick, Ocho Cinco, square off in flag football, and
yep.
It's fun.
Yep, sure. This, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course they want this. I would like for both of them to square off in actual football, but flag football, I will take.
Why is Michael Vick playing flag football?
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Your first thought upon seeing Michael Vick scrambling in the backfield at a flag football game might be, hey, Vick looks like he lost a step. I think I could take him. But your second thought would be, why is Michael Vick playing flag football? Aside from contact football, I think flag football will be the next great thing, Vick told Yahoo Sports.
Well,
Did you see the highlights from those
I
games?
No, I imagine that he looks pretty good. Yeah. I imagine that those games are moving at a pretty high rate of speed. Is that true? Am I correct?
Very, yeah,
those?
Very
you are
curious
correct.
About these highlights.
You are correct. And so he puts, it's all about pride, not proving to people that I can still throw the ball around because that's all I'll be doing, but it's showing that I can shoot the cannon.
It's all about pride.
I believe that Mike Vick can still shoot the cannon. That feels, like, I imagine that he'll, at 70, he'll be able to chuck it a solid 50 yards and also probably be significantly faster than me as I am right now. Also, but like him at 70 and me at like 60, that'd be embarrassing. I don't know if I'll make it that long. Certainly no cannon shooting.
News!
Kobe Bryant ending retirement to play with LeBron James would be dope, according to Matt Barnes.
The fact that it's from Matt Barnes is pretty funny.
Yeah. So I was actually going to just flick the news point at Beards
until the phrase Matt Barnes says
Matt Barnes. And so, like, also, you don't need to click it.
Can I remind everybody that there's a video clip when Matt Barnes played with Orlando of he was taking the ball out of bounds and Kobe was, guarding the inbound pass or whatever. And Matt Barnes, like, fake throws the ball at his face.
Yeah.
And Kobe didn't even blink. Blink.
Oh, that
unbelievable.
Is good.
It's the coldest thing I've ever seen. So we don't need to click it because Kobe's not coming out of retirement. Also, LeBron would be furious. Can you imagine how mad LeBron would be? To just have Kobe show up and just
take
30 shots
a game.
Wow. Yeah, 30.
40. Why stop at 30?
Because LeBron would punch him in the face after 30. He would stop passing to him. Good for Matt Barnes.
News!
Warriors secret weapon trainer Chelsea Elaine is leaving for the Atlanta Hawks.
Ho-ho! Shifting of the balance of power!
Going to Trae Young, the next Steph Curry.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Trae Young's the next Steph Curry. And hey, quick beards, name me another Hawk. Did Luke John Collins just go to Atlanta? Where did he go?
Orlando.
Don't say that like I should have known. I just said Luka Bamute like a normal person.
No, I don't remember where he went. I was thinking Mo Bamba. I don't know why.
Luka Bamute.
Clippers. Wow. Clippers.
Thanks. I spelled that so bad that Google said, "Do you mean luck be a mute?" No, I didn't. I didn't mean that. I'm also not going to click that story, but it's a good goof.
News!
Southwest Airlines to stop serving peanuts on their flights.
What? This is probably a peanut allergy thing. I'm definitely clicking it. I'm 100% clicking it. I'm guessing it has to do with not killing your passengers with peanut allergies.
I do like the pretzels better than the peanuts.
This is why I wanted to click, because I wanted to go around the room, peanuts or pretzels. Or do you have a dark horse best airplane snack that they give out to you? Not that you take on, but a best airplane snack that they give to you. Charlie.
Pretzels.
Beards.
Pretzels.
Pretzels.
Cheese nips.
Oh. Ooh.
The heck's a cheese nip?
Yeah.
Over Cheez-Its, really?
Well, I've never had a Cheez-Its given to me on an airplane.
Okay.
I don't remember what. I think you've actually had,
wow.
Multiple times. I don't know. You could probably Google what airline gives out cheese nips and... That will be a deciding factor for me. But you know what? I'll pay an extra $20 for a single serving size of cheese nips. Beard, you don't even know what cheese nips are?
I don't think I've ever heard of them. Also, the last time I flew was probably like 8 or 9 years ago.
Cheese nips are off-brand Cheez-Its. But Nick has also taken one of my headlines, which is, I think, my hottest take of all time. I think I like cheese nips better than normal Cheez-Its.
Ooh,
normal Cheez-Its have lots of flavors. The toasted Cheez-Its are amazing. The white, like, crisps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the grooves. The white cheddar Cheez-It grooves are a cocaine addiction. But if you're going to give me normal Cheez-Its and normal cheese nips, I think I might take the nips. Good on you guys for not following that sentence up with anything. Good job, everybody.
News!
England trains for 2018 World Cup semifinal using rubber chickens.
Well, that didn't work out for them.
Yeah, also, probably should have used real chickens.
Yes! Click! 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 They what? They lost is what happens, but okay.
So what they do is they have to toss the rubber chicken to each other when they are running around practicing. And so it keeps them, I don't know, not distracted. There's some great pictures.
I'm trying to picture this.
That's a great idea. For a sport that you're not supposed to use your hands, this is a great strategy.
Well, it says to warm up. I'm guessing maybe the idea is that, like,
that's
so
good.
You are able, you're so confident in your feet that you can be throwing rubber chickens around with your hands. It sounds like an improv warm-up game is what it sounds like. And
it sounds like,
World Cup
it sounds like a Monty Python sketch.
It does. Also, today, England loses to Croatia 2-1 in extra time.
It's because the FIFA didn't let them use rubber chickens on the field.
No, it's because Charlie had the actual verdict on this. They should have been using real chickens.
News!
Adam Pac-Man Jones involved in fight at Atlanta Airport.
This story is so wild.
Click it.
Yeah, so I clicked this one already. Read the lead or whatever here.
Free agent NFL cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones was involved in an altercation at the airport in Atlanta on Tuesday. You know it's a good story.
Free agent cornerback.
Mm. Yeah, you know it's a good story because it's the videos from TMZ.
Yes, 100%. That watermark, the only thing that's more exciting than a TMZ watermark on a video of this story like that is a World Star one.
Ooh.
But TMZ's pretty solid. Have you guys seen the video?
No.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. They're like barking at each other, and I'm not sure that Pac-Man is in the wrong here because the other guy was like definitely aggravating him and like running at him. Also, other guy is bigger, and Pac-Man hits him, and the other guy ends up on the ground. It's a fantastic story. Do I have any details that I've missed? Because I just basically watched the video on Twitter. I didn't see a full story about it.
They arrested the employee.
Just the employee?
Yeah, it does not say anything about Pac-Man. Probably just got on his flight and left.
Huh.
Just another day for him, probably.
He just got on his flight, got some cheese nips, and went to his next destination. Wow.
News!
Ex-Indiana quarterback says one of his coaches praised Hitler.
Well,
There's an issue.
I mean, yes, click 100%. This is the first one that I'm shocked I haven't heard yet.
So his tweet says, I'll never forget when one of my coaches at Indiana referenced Hitler as a great leader. Only a man keen on leading through fear could make such an ignorant claim, especially ignorant when your quarterback is Jewish.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
That's so bad.
He would later leave the program.
News!
Kevin Durant's back. He's fighting with people on the internet again, and this time it's a teen on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. We're on a roll.
So, he's on Instagram. The post is from The Score. It says, three elite two-way players, but don't elevate a team quite like LeBron does. And someone tags Kevin Durant in it, and he responds, bruh, go sweep your dorm room. You don't know hoops. Stop tagging me in this trash.
It's pretty good.
He forgot to use his burner account, though.
That's what I was
going
to
ask. See, no, I like that. I like just use your official account. Go out there and dunk on people. You're Kevin Durant. You can do whatever you want. Just don't call Hitler a great leader. Because this story, I'm not over this story yet.
News!
All right, last one. This was from last night's Astros game.
Is it going to be better than the Hitler coach?
Pretty close. Okay. Astros closer Ken Giles demoted after cursing at manager.
Oh, good. What did he say?
So he gave up three straight hits without recording it out. The manager came to pull him, and he told him to bleep off.
I like that.
I feel like that's a bad idea.
Bleep you, man, as he walked off the mound.
That's awesome. Tell your boss to bleep himself, and then the next day, oh, that's crazy. You're on a bus to AAA. Oh, fantastic. Good work, Nick.
News!
I just said last.
Yeah,
last
no, that one, was so. I did. That was just okay. For the ends. No, you're good. You did the right thing. His beard wasn't listening. It's fine. He's too busy playing with himself. With his dupe of himself. With the action figure of himself. Lofty winner.
Dog.
Man. People who don't have the context of all of the dupe stuff are going to be...
Real confused.
Are going to be so confused by all of that.
Yeah.
You can kill the music. Former Indiana University quarterback Xander Demick traded Monday when his coach Indiana was calling out for their great leader. And he said, just that she's Jewish. Amazing. I could talk about this story for 2 straight hours, but we left it when he did because I feel like Nick hit the comedic timing of later left the program. He didn't say what coach, though.
Does it
Wait,
matter?
Wilson. Hold on. Kevin Wilson. Kevin Wilson was the head coach at the time. Yeah. Oh, yes, it matters. Because what if you're the wide receivers coach on Indiana and you're like, whoa, hell no. And then you also get fired because.
Hang on.
Loser.
I deserve that.
Yes, you did.
It was my joke. Oh. Okay. I'm not going to try to come up with like another Hitler joke. That's not how we're going to end this segment. That's how we're going to end this show. And I don't feel the need to do that. So instead, everybody just go play with your dupes.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Don't compare anyone to Martin Luther King, Correct. Rosa Parks, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Hitler.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Find a better comparison. They exist, I promise.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Right after we went to break, Charlie said that he had another headline. Nick is gone, but Charlie's still here. Go ahead. Oh, wow. I also just saw a shark bite during photo shoot over a bunch of sharks.
Where?
I don't know. Also, are we doing more headlines? Will you eat it?
Oh, gosh. They're stealing
Channel
our thing.
Channel 4 is showing a bunch of people eating bugs.
They're stealing our thing.
My freaking bit. Yeah, go ahead, Charlie. Great. Glad we did that.
You want a headline?
Good. The whole
I've
thing
got
again? Very good.
Breaking news here. Hey,
all right,
you,
Urchin. You Urchin's hey, been out a lot lately.
I think
Urchin
you had coffee today.
You, old lady? Urchin had coffee today. Headline, please, Charlie.
All right. From WSVN7 News, assuming in Miami. Miami man with no arms charged with stabbing Chicago tourist.
I mean, I've got logistical questions. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Yep. I'd like to please click. Also, TJ Houshmandzadeh talked about the early days with the Bengals having no bottled water or Gatorade, jockstrap issues, and showing up to home games straight from the club.
All right.
News!
Come on, Internet.
News!
Not going News! Down. Try News! To scroll down on this.
Urchin, please.
News!
Why did you give the urchin coffee?
I didn't do it. I'm not dumb.
Oh, there it goes. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh.
News!
All right.
He wants to go back to sleep.
A homeless Florida man with no arms has been charged with stabbing
Time
a
out.
Chicago
Hold
tourist.
On. Start the story over again, but read it a little slower.
Miami Associated Press. A homeless Florida man with no arms has been charged with
Six
stabbing.
Six words. I would read anything. Homeless Florida man with no arms. Homeless Florida man with no arms. Six words. I'll read anything.
Has been time charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist.
Oh, yeah. Time back in.
Miami Beach police say 46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw held a pair of scissors with his feet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That. I mean, if I had to stab somebody without using my arms, that's pretty good.
And stabbed 22-year-old Cesar Coronado just after midnight on Tuesday. The Miami Herald reports that Crenshaw is a popular fixture in the area, known for painting on canvases along the trendy spot in South Beach, I'm assuming with his feet.
Maybe holding the brush in his mouth.
Maybe. According to the arrest report, Crenshaw says he was lying down when Coronado approached him and kicked him in the head. Police say Crenshaw stabbed Coronado twice and fled the scene. So this person came up and kicked him?
Right, okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. Can I get that part again?
Okay, yeah. According to the arrest report, Crenshaw, who's the armless man, says he was lying down when Coronado approached him and kicked him in the head.
Oh, yeah, stab him with your foot scissors.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, armless dude.
Police say Crenshaw stabbed Coronado twice and fled the scene. A friend who was traveling with Coronado said they asked Crenshaw for directions when he suddenly jumped up and stabbed Coronado in his arm. He was taken to the hospital. Crenshaw has been charged with aggravated battery.
So, all right. Headlines part two.
How do you... News!
Okay. Never mind.
We'll go on what we're going to say.
I'm just going to say, how do you...
News!
How does one side
News!
Think that...
News!
They were asking for directions and the other thought...
No, what happened is that either somebody kicked... One guy kicked the other guy in the head and needed to lie about it, or the other guy stabbed another guy for no reason and needed to lie about it.
Sure.
That wasn't a misunderstanding. Someone was lying. Urchin, please.
Just clarifying.
All right, so I want to now go back to the Chiefs thing that I promised you earlier, because Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com ranked the skill position talent on each team, wrote about each of them, and then put the Chiefs on the list, obviously. And I'm going to go in order of AFC West teams, but here's something important at the front end. He said, these rankings are attempting to consider a team's skill position talent without including the impact of the quarterback, offensive line, or scheme. Now, in the AFC West, I think all of those things probably help the Chiefs. Rookie quarterback, sure. Offensive line's not great, but you get Andy Reid. This is not including any of those things, and it's only about how they'll perform in 2018, and it's not including contract value. All right. And also he says it's weighted more towards receivers because he's, you know, doing it for an NFL team. So with that being said, the first AFC West team that shows up is the Denver Broncos at 22, putting guys around Case Keenum. So Case Keenum has a below average array of weapons around him. Not a great start for him. The Oakland Raiders are at 19, giving it a below average array of weapons for Derek Carr. He says it's too easy to make the joke that this would be a top five team in the 2015 weapon rankings, but who on this team looks better right now than he did a year ago? You can find 2017 scapegoats, Todd Downing for the Raiders, holdovers Brett Hundley for Jordy Nelson, the early suspension for Doug Martin, Martavis Bryant for Martavis Bryant, but it's way more plausible to believe that one of these guys will bounce back and think that every one of these players is going to start suddenly spark to life.
I'm kind of surprised they weren't rated higher.
Well, they have Amari Cooper, and then one of those guys bounces back, but I'm not afraid of Jordy Nelson. That just does not do it for me. So I'm not worried about the Raiders offensively, and I'm also not that worried about Derek Carr. So that's where those two teams are. Then the Chargers come in at 10. And I'm going to just read you the whole write-up here because the Chargers are obviously at this point, I would say, the real the real challenge to the Chiefs at this point. The Raiders might have a little bit of juice. We'll see. But at 10, Los Angeles Chargers, you get the feeling that the Chargers have one of those dry erase boards with "it's been blank days since our last ACL injury" written at the top. This time around, it's tight end Hunter Henry, who was about to move into a primary role before suffering a season-ending knee injury in May. The Chargers could re-sign Antonio Gates, but the only tight end of note on the roster is blocker Virgil Green. One solution would be to play the enormous amounts of depth the Chargers have at wideout, or 2017 first-round pick Mike Williams might not be guaranteed a starting role ahead of Tyrell Williams or Travis Benjamin. The obvious star is Keenan Allen, who's averaged 87.2 receiving yards per game over the last three seasons, which is fourth in the league over that time frame. The problem is that former Cal star,
There you go.
Also, thank you, has missed 23 games over that stretch with various injuries and just completed a full 16-game season after 5 years in the NFL. His first 16-game full season after 5 years in the NFL. Melvin Gordon also finished his first full season in 3 years, and while he has been a productive fantasy back, he's yet to average 4.0 yards per carry once as a pro. And so that means the Chiefs haven't showed up yet. From 10 on down, it's the Bears at 9, the Patriots at 8, the Eagles at 7, the Rams at 6, the Vikings at 5, the Steelers at 4, which was a little surprising to me, the Atlanta Falcons at 3, the New York Giants at 2, and the Kansas City Chiefs at 1. And you know what, Beard? Can I just full on read the internet on this one? This is three paragraphs of Chiefs breakdown from a national perspective. I think it's worth your time.
Get comfortable real quick.
Yeah, get comfy. You get comfy. Grab a drink. Crack open a brewski. A Teddy brewski.
And now Josh reads the internet.
This has been building 1 year at a time for the Chiefs, who were relying on players such as Charkandrick West and Jason Avant as meaningful weapons during their playoff run in 2015. Starting off with just a kick to the crotch. It starts with Travis Kelce, who is the consensus second-best tight end in the league behind Gronkowski. In 2016, the Chiefs added Tyreek Hill, who graduated from his gadget return man role as a rookie into a real-deal wideout last season, by posting a 1,183.7 line, being receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Andy Reid and company drafted Kareem Hunt last season, and the running back produced 1,782 yards from scrimmage as a rookie, which was the 10th best mark for a debuting runner in league history. The Chiefs likely will give him snaps off more frequently with the return of Spencer Ware, but Hunt is already one of the league's best backs. He doesn't talk about running backs more often, but as I add parenthetically that the Chiefs have 1,000 running backs right now. Whoever's third on this depth chart is going to get some carries also. It's hard to find a team that can say it's paying its fourth best weapon $16 million per year. I add parenthetically, hot damn, I was talking about this like 2 weeks ago. Get on my level. And in part, that's because the Chiefs probably overpaid Sammy Watkins. If we ignore the money and the hype surrounding Watkins coming out of Clemson, it's accurate enough to say that Patrick Mahomes' fourth best weapon is a 25-year-old guy who just averaged over 80 receiving yards per game in 2015 and turned 9 red zone targets into 7 touchdowns last season. The upside for Watkins is still as a legitimate number one receiver in an offense that already has 2 of them. While we can never truly know whether a young quarterback could develop into a star in any situation, it's hard to imagine what else Patrick Mahomes could ask for than Reed as a coach and this bevy of talent at targets as targets. Every team is susceptible to injuries, and Mahomes will have growing pains, but no offense has as much upside across the board at the skill position spots as these Chiefs. Makes you feel good, right?
Mm-hmm. Training camp, as they say in the bottom of the article, training camp can't get here soon enough.
No kidding. I can. It will. What we can't get here soon enough is week one.
Yeah, sure.
I'm ready for games. Even the preseason will be fun this year. But man, there's so much. There's so much here that I want to see. And everything you talked about here is just, it's just dead on. So would you rather have all of those Chiefs weapons or Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley and then Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram? No, I'll take the Chiefs guys. That's at 2. Would you rather have the Chiefs guys or Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and Taylor Gabriel? And they lost Taylor Gabriel and added Calvin Ridley in this year's draft. They have Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman. That's good. Austin Hooper, tight end. Meh. I'll take the Chiefs guys. The whole way through, the Steelers are the one that, for me, I'm surprised to have them all the way down at four. But I think I would take these Chiefs skill position players over anybody else in football. And he said that they wasn't taking contracts into account here. But even with that involved, the Chiefs actually get a bigger advantage with the contracts, everywhere except for Sammy Watkins. How can you not be thrilled with that? I am thrilled with it. Something that we did not explain earlier. Oh my goodness.
It's amazing.
This is fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing.
Something we did not explain earlier is that whenever we were making the jokes about Beers playing with himself, we were talking about these dubs that we got. And you'll have to go to my Twitter, the ESPN Kansas City Twitter, the Sports Radio 810 Twitter. We went to a place called Dube a couple weeks ago where they take a picture of you. And
they take a lot of pictures of you.
Well, all at once. But yes, they take like 60-some pictures of you all at the same time. And then they, 2 weeks later, give you a 3D printed version of yourself. And they're just, I'm not going to try to explain it because they're unspeakably wonderful. But they're just incredible. And Steve somehow made them look better by photoshopping them into a blind box, which is a thing where you, you know what you could get in the box of things, but you don't know until you open it. It's in a sealed box, so like you don't know what the specific actual thing is in the box. If you don't know what a blind box is, I'm having a hard time explaining it, obviously. But he made an almost entirely sports blind box for the dubs of me, Beards, and Charlie, and they're all on there, and they just look incredible. He said, I did tiny dubs, blind boxes, I just love the dubs. I also just love the dubs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing. The dubs are amazing, and this Photoshop
they're
is
so
fantastic.
Cool.
There's going to be much more dube coming, by the way. This is a work in progress that we're all having right now, but I just retweeted from our account and from ESPN Kansas City's account the Photoshop that Steve did of the dude blind box. It's just unbelievable.
Did you ever think in your young radio career that you would have a mini you?
I actually at this point figured I'd have a life-size me. I figured I would have a marble statue and a Marvel movie, actually, about myself.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I feel like I'm a little bit behind right now.
Okay. Sorry.
It's also a really sore topic. I wish I wouldn't have brought it up. No, it's incredible. Beards just yawned 10 into the mic. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that we kept you interested on this show, Beards. Everybody else, thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.